Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up.
Here's a sunny side of sports salute to Kenyan athletes Daniel Wanjiru and Mary Kaitani, who won the men's and women's titles at the London Marathon. The victories by Daniel and Mary came 6 days after Jeffrey Kirui and Edna Kiplagat swept the men's and women's titles for Kenya at the Boston Marathon, which, like London, is one of the 6 annual World Marathon Majors, along with a biennial race, the IAAF World Championships Marathon, and a quadrennial race, the Olympic Games Marathon. With their victories in London, Wanjiru and Kaitani strengthened their cases to be included on Kenya's team for this year's IAAF World Championships, which will be held in the British capital from August 4th to August 13th. Mary Kaitani, in particular, turned in a record-breaking performance in London, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale.
Kenyan Mary Kaitani produced an extraordinary display of front-running to win her third London Marathon title and set the fastest women-only time in history, breaking Paula Radcliffe's women-only world record to win the London Marathon. Kaitani crossed the finish line in 2 hours, 17 minutes and 1 second. Kaitani, after the race, said the victory will be remembered for many years to come.
I'm honored to be here in London. I just come actually to prove it that I was ready for it. Since last year I fell down, I remained back at home, not among those who were chosen to go to Rio. I think it will be remembered for many years.
Another Kenyan, Daniel Wanjiru, beat marathon favorite Kenenisa Bekele by 9 seconds to take the men's race. He finished the race in a time of 2 hours, 5 minutes, 56 seconds. Wanjiru, after the race, said the cheers from the crowd urged him on.
What I can say about the people in London, they are very good people because they are cheering us on the race. So when you hear they are cheering, you can have back more to run and you can feel as you are fresh. And you can increase the pace or maintain the pace. You are not feeling like you are getting tired, so I like the people here.
For Kenenisa Bekele, who came second, the loss was just short of his expectation for the London Marathon.
I couldn't achieve as I expected. It was a little bit quick, you know, in the beginning, halfway. I couldn't, but it was okay, you know. I'm happy that I finished the race in second position.
And now to South Africa, where long jump Olympic silver medalist Luvo Mayunga added another achievement to his growing list of accolades by breaking the African record for the second time this season at the SA Athletics Championship in Potchefstroom on Saturday. Mayunga bettered his own continental mark by 3 centimeters, launching a massive 8.65 meters leap to earn the gold medal through his very first attempt, which was also his last as he picked up a niggle in his hamstring.
To not jump another jumps, as I said before, my groin injury is pulling me back, but I promise them this year I'll bring something home.
In the 400 meters event, world record holder Wade Van Niekerk won the 200 meters final in 19.90 seconds. Caster Semenya successfully defended her SA 400 meters and 800 meters title, winning both finals less than 2 hours apart. And now to Nigeria, where the Nigerian University Games Association has temporarily suspended the National University Games, which began on Saturday in Makurdi over what it called technical hitches. NUGA Secretary General B.O. Orodele, who announced the suspension on Sunday in Makurdi, said that the action became necessary because both athletes and contingent officials have not been accredited as required by the guidelines of the games. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
We'll be right back.
Washington.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life.
Now let's go to Germany, where Sagai Mekkonen of Ethiopia held off 2012 Olympic champion Stephen Kiprotich of Uganda in a tight men's finish at the Hamburg Marathon. Sagai clocked 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 26 seconds, while Kiprotich crossed the line 5 seconds later. The Hamburg race was run in difficult weather conditions, with wind, rain, and even hail making things challenging for the runners. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Stephen Kiprotich after the race. Here's Andy.
Stephen Kiprotich is a man who came very close to winning the Hasper Marathon Hamburg on Sunday. He finished second, just a handful of seconds behind Sagai Mekkonen of Ethiopia. Stephen, when we were looking at you with a couple of kilometres to go and thinking, well, you're now stride for stride with Sagai, you've caught him, I have to say, honestly, I thought the fact you're a real championship runner, Olympic and world champion, I thought you would be the favourite. But what was going through your head?
Oh, thank you very much. When I was coming closer to him, I was feeling I can push it, I can get him, I can get them. So I was coming in that way.
There was some thought before the race that, of course, you're the Ugandan record holder in a marathon, that you might be going to try and break your own record, 2 hours, 6 minutes, 33. You were a bit outside. So what are your reflections on that?
I think because of the weather today, we could not allow me to go faster. My target was to break the national record, but unfortunately.
Now, of course, where does this put you in terms of getting selection for the World Championships for Uganda? The selectors, I'm sure, will be meeting soon. You're a top man, but do you think they're going to pick you after this race? I mean, you were second and you ran 2:07.
No, I don't know. Right now, so many athletes are still qualifying, and I don't know if they will select me, but we still have more athletes who are tough, whom I believe they're tougher than me. They can make qualifying times.
Do you think about why you've had such success in Olympics and World Championships? You know, you're someone, as we've said before the race, you're not necessarily the fastest runner, but you beat people to the line. You're first across the line when it comes to a world title. Is it a kind of something in your psychological makeup that makes you think, I'm really strong at that?
No, I think that's just like depends on the day you wake up, your preparation, and also the type of the race. As to me, I know all races are not the same. The distance is the same, but the courses are different, and also sometimes the weather can favor in such races. So to me, I think it was just my good day.
Well, you had two good days, didn't you? And of course, you talk about the weather. Championships in the marathon, they're always in the summer. So you're somebody who's happy running in that hot weather?
Yeah, someone who is serious and also who has prepared his mind well. Yeah, can do better.
You were 28 in the week before Hamburg. Of course, we'd say you're in your prime as a marathon runner, but do you give thoughts to what you might be doing when you retire from elite racing, and when that might be?
Now, as at the time, I've not yet come to think about it, but I'm still active, and maybe when I stop in the future, I don't know when, then I go back and work. I'm a government officer, so maybe I will go back to work, and on top of that, I will help the upcoming athletes, give them how the tips, how to run a marathon, or how to begin, and all that way.
And you say, as a government officer, would that be, as you're talking about helping athletes develop when you've retired from top flight sport, that government work, is that linked to sport or is it separate?
Yeah, it is separate, but where I work, we have a club. Our department supports sports. And in that department, I am likely to be heading the sports in the future. So my work is to nurture.
Well, Stephen Kipetich, we wish you every success. Hope you're in that World Championship team for Uganda this August in London, and many more years of running at the top flight before you turn to helping other athletes develop. Thanks very much, Stephen.
Thank you very much, and thank you.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Let's give another sunny side of sports salute to Lionel Messi, who scored his 500th career goal for Barcelona to give Barca a dramatic 3-2 victory over 10-man Real Madrid in the last minute of the Clásico. I love that. The Clásico. The result leaves the Spanish league race wide open, with the rivals now tied atop the La Liga standings with 75 points. Messi netted his milestone goal, his second of the night, with a low left-footed shot from inside the area after a cross by Jordi Alba 2 minutes into stoppage time. Messi ripped off his jersey after scoring his 500th career goal, and my VOA colleague Andrew Palcheski will have some reaction to that moment later in the program. Turning to African football, Ghanaian fans have welcomed Kwesi Appiah back for his second coaching stint in charge of the Black Stars, the country's beloved national team. The 56-year-old Appiah previously coached the Black Stars between 2012 and 2014, and he guided Ghana at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. Appiah replaces Israeli coach Avram Grant, who stepped down after leading Ghana to the semifinals at this year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Gabon. For more on Appiah's return, here's reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Accra.
At the Kutuka International Airport, many Ghanaian soccer fans hail him, drumming and singing with joy for the coach's second coming. Former Al Khartoum of Sudan coach will officially commence his Black Stars job on May 1st.
I always believe the voice of the people is always the voice of God. I'll take this opportunity to thank the president of the nation, you know, the FA, and every Ghanaian, you know, up to the last baby born today, you know, for giving me the second chance, you know, to coach the national team. I will do the best that I can, but I can never do it without your help. I will need the support and prayers of every Ghanaian to make our Rastas proud and big again.
Meanwhile, coach Kwesi Appiah will test his strength on June 28, when the Black Stars play an international friendly against Mexico at Houston's NRC Stadium in Texas, USA. Both teams met twice in 2006 and 2008, and Mexico defeated Ghana in all two meetings. For the sunny side of sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Happy Monday. What's trending out there in the sports world?
Well, lots to talk about in the sports world going on over the weekend, starting with Messi, Lionel Messi's 500th goal for Barcelona in the last minute of El Clasico, literally the last minute, 92nd minute of the game.
So dramatic.
Scores and wins. It was indeed. So a lot of reaction on social media, as I'm sure you can expect. Many saying that Messi has now solidified his place as the greatest of all time. So really strong endorsement of his skills and abilities from his fans. And a lot of people, I thought this was a nice touch, sharing video of Messi's first goal with Barca back May 1st, 2005. And one person shared that video and said, "The phenomenon is born." Little less than 12 years later, number 500, and in a big way. So very exciting. Lots of fans using the hashtag Messi did it, and he did it in a big way, that's for sure. And fans using that hashtag to share video of where they were when this goal took place and in the aftermath and the celebration, including Neymar, posted an Instagram story that appears to be from the Barcelona locker room with the team celebrating behind him, and he's kind of dancing around doing a selfie video with everybody in the background. But all these other fans sharing videos from celebrations at the stadium, at home, at bars, on the street, anywhere you can imagine, there were fans celebrating this win, celebrating Messi.
Messi's 500th career goal for Barcelona coming against Real Madrid and his arch rival, Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal. I saw some footage of Ronaldo after Messi's goal and just this utter dejection across his face. But I thought to myself, we have seen two of the greatest football players of our time for more than 10 years. Clearly, Messi and Ronaldo still at the top of their game.
For sure. And that debate is going to go on probably for years and years and years to come, who is the greatest. But for right now, it's Messi getting all the attention and some fun attention, too, on social media, because Messi celebrated this goal by removing his jersey and holding it up before the crowd in front of his face. Well, fans have had some fun with that. They've created a photoshopped meme where Messi is hanging the jersey on a clothesline with laundry basket next to him. There's some other fun ones I saw where they've spliced in, instead of the jersey, a matador's cape, and he's in front of a bull. And then there's another great one where he's conducting an orchestra. They put a baton in his hand. They put him on the conductor's podium at the front of the orchestra. So a lot of fun that fans are having with this, with that moment. But for Messi fans, a great, great moment. For Barcelona fans, a great moment. And for sports fans, just a great matchup in that El Clasico matchup.
As for Messi, the conductor, I often see that phrase maestro when you talk about Lionel Messi, the maestro.
It's so fitting then that if he's a maestro that he gets to conduct an orchestra, even if it's not really conducting an orchestra, even if he's just up there in Photoshop.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, of course, the other big story from this weekend was the London Marathon, another Kenyan sweep just about a week after the Boston Marathon we talked about. Of course, the big difference, one of the big differences, other than the fact that Boston has been going on for so many years, London is more recent, is that, of course, in the UK, they have royalty. In the US, we don't have a monarchy. But so a lot of royal treatment there in the UK for the London Marathon. Prince Harry with the winners at the finish, that getting a lot of attention. And another moment from the race, Prince William was there handing out water to the runners. And one of the runners decided to have a little fun and squirted some water at Prince William.
How dare he?
Well, yes, off with his head. But no, it's in all fairness, Prince William looked like he had having some fun with it. Certainly Princess Kate. Next to him, she was laughing it up. She didn't look like she didn't get sprayed with the water, so she could laugh it up. Her hair was, you know, looked intact, but he was having some fun with that. It was a nice, fun little moment, and shows how they're trying to relate to the folks running there and help hand out some water and do what they can.
In fact, Prince Harry opened the London Marathon Expo prior to the race, and I think he used that occasion
to press one of his issues right now, mental health and taking care of your mental health. And so that was one of the issues on the sidelines of the London Marathon.
Yeah, and actually Prince William, you saw he was wearing the shirt or like the jacket from this mental health foundation that they work for. Another big issue, big sporting family, Prince Harry, of course, with the Invictus Games, the games for servicemen and women who have been wounded and served overseas. So a lot of athletics going on in the royal family, not just getting sprayed with water, but actually participating in the athletics. But other than the royals, you know, a commoner getting a lot of attention, a man by the name of Matthew Rhys. He was running the marathon and saw a gentleman who was struggling to finish. So he kind of picked him up and said, come on, you're coming with me. And he helped him across the finish line. That video of that getting millions of views across the internet, he's become a viral sensation. And Matthew Rhys said of it, he said, it's just being human, isn't it? He said he didn't care about his time. He didn't care about if he finished. He just wanted to help this guy get across the finish line who was struggling. So a really nice moment there in London. And something we saw in Boston, too. We saw a lot of people coming together, helping each other out, running for different causes and foundations. So it is a nice way to incorporate that into these races.
Nice gesture indeed. And that video might have been played more than any other, Andrew, after the London Marathon, more so than the winners themselves.
I certainly saw more of that video being posted in different places, and then the follow-up interview with Matthew Rhys as well. So I think, you know, it just goes to show you don't have to become in first place in a race. You just have to do good in the world, and you sometimes get recognized for that.
NBA playoffs still heating up, really. We got one team through to the second round, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cavs are cruising in four games. They beat the Indiana Pacers. They're through the first round, but a lot of attention on the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're struggling a little bit, and Russell Westbrook had a tense exchange with a reporter. This is after game four. Westbrook had a triple-double in the first half of the game alone, fitting with the triple-doubles that he's accumulated, broke that record over the season. But Oklahoma City lost 113-109 to the Houston Rockets. And after the game, Westbrook appeared with his teammate Steven Adams, and a reporter asked why the team doesn't do well without Westbrook. And Westbrook shot back and said, "It's not about me. It's about the team. Don't make this about me." And so really terse, tense moment. And when pressed on it, Westbrook just said, "Next question, next question." He didn't want to answer it. So fans, a little bit of a debate on this. Fans are not happy saying that Westbrook made that moment about him, even though he's saying it's about the team. He made it about him because it was a question for Steven Adams. Should have let Adams answer the question, some people say. But others say it shows character and that he's standing up for his team. So we'll see if that maybe is the spark that can get the Thunder going against the Rockets, but they're going to need some work other than from Westbrook to do well there.
Right now, you might say the Rockets have been the more explosive team in that series, Andrew.
Yes, the Thunder looking to strike back.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. And that wraps up the April 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
From time to time, the United States identifies individuals who are important to the operation or specific agenda of a terrorist organization. In all cases, these are people who have committed or are deemed to pose a significant threat of committing acts of terrorism. Occasionally, the designated individual is already in custody. This is the case of Anjem Chaudhry, who was named by the U.S. State Department as a specially designated global terrorist. Chaudhry was arrested in 2014 and sentenced to prison in 2016 for pledging allegiance to ISIS and for acting as a key figure in the group's recruitment drive. Along with Chaudhry, four other men were designated as specially designated global terrorists. They include Sami Bouras, a Swedish national of Tunisian descent and a member of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, who is known to have planned suicide terror attacks. Shane Dominic Crawford of Trinidad and Tobago, who fights for ISIS in Syria and acts as an English language propagandist for the group. and Mark John Taylor of New Zealand, who has been fighting in Syria with ISIS since the fall of 2014 and appeared in a 2015 ISIS propaganda video to encourage terrorist attacks in Australia and New Zealand. The final member of this group is Al-Shafi Al-Sheikh, a member of a group of brutal ISIS operatives, dubbed the Beatles for their heavy British accents, who were put in charge of foreign-born hostages held by ISIS. Al-Sheikh and the other three members of the Beatles were markedly more brutal than other guards, using extreme methods to torture the prisoners. To date, they have executed at least 27 prisoners. A number of these executions were videotaped and posted on the internet by ISIS. On March 31st, these five men were marked by the U.S. State Department as specially designated global terrorists under Executive Order 13224. Their assets within U.S. reach are now frozen, and no U.S. citizen or company may conduct business with them. Designations expose and isolate organizations and individuals and result in denial of access to the U.S. financial system. Moreover, designations can assist or complement the law enforcement actions of other governments.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Let's Talk, interior design. What does it take to be one? Is it for a specific gender only? Well, join me next Monday on Let's Talk, and we'll discuss this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please, stay tuned.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.